Let us be still together as we come to worship God. And let us hear these words from the psalmist. O God, it is right for us to praise you in Zion and keep our promises to you because you answer our prayers. The whole world stands in awe of the great things you have done. Your deeds bring shouts of joy from one end of the earth to the other.
O thou who camest from above, we join to sing.
So let us join together to pray. Let us pray. God, our salvation. God of glory. God, our rock. God, our refuge. God of mercy. God of loving kindness. God of power, we pour out our hearts in praise. God who calls, follow. Lead us where we should be going. God of our salvation. God of glory, God our rock, God our refuge, God of mercy, God of loving kindness, God of power, we pause to worship you. Often in the living of our days, we confess that we do not pause and wonder what is your will for us. For we know what it is to be fearful. Fear that stops us spreading good news. Fear that stops us responding to your call. We are fearful of being unpopular and fearful of being inadequate. We are fearful of having to give up possessions. We are fearful of losing people we love. We are fearful of losing friendship. We are fearful of change. We are fearful of being different. Help us to lean on you. Help us to trust you. Help us to follow. And help us to be among those who spread the good news. And we ask it in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Jesus, you came proclaiming the good news of God and endured the cross through love for us. Through your sacrifice, we are forgiven. May we share this good news so that others will know your loving freedom in their lives. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So just before she goes off sledging, Sally is going to lead us. Don't you just love it? So last week, just as we were all wondering what was going on, Samuel's iPad or laptop, I don't know which, decided it would do a major reboot. And today, clearly, Sally has had difficulties getting him. You know, the great thing is that we're together and that it's good. The stories that we're going to be working on today are the story of Jonah and his call to preach and go where God leads him, and his inclination to go the opposite direction, and then the story of the call of the four fishermen. I would just invite you to be still and to reflect and to wonder, have you got, I don't want to hear it. Have you a story of a time when you knew that you should say something? Whether you said it and it was just the right thing, and it was, you know, how did that happen, but somehow you said the right thing? Or have you a story where you knew you should keep your mouth shut and you did or you didn't? And, you know, have you a story of that somehow being led? So let's, during the 24 hours of prayer, Catherine shared stories of people who spoke to her encouraging words. This was said in public, so I'm not disclosing anything. And one of them was of somebody who spoke to her when she was in the gym. She was actually on the machine, busting her buns, and somebody came up and spoke to her. And I just, I remember hearing a story, I've heard it twice now, the courage for that man to actually break all taboos and be talking of God when somebody around him is just there to sweat. And then to pray with somebody in the middle of the gym. You know, that's you know, the call of God in those times. And maybe we need to be braver. Yeah, maybe we need to be braver. So we're going to listen for the word of God now. Firstly, Sue is going to lead to us from Jonah, a classic example of divine resistance. Jonah runs, and then Jonah preaches, and the people of Nineveh take hold of Jonah's message, and they repent and things turn around. And then into Mark's gospel, which Madge Cole will read with us, to us. And Mark's gospel is, as I said last time, characterized by immediately and then, but the time is now. And the disciples are embarking on a new way of life. Jesus invites them to change. So let us listen for these readings.
The reading is from Jonah chapter 3. Jonah obeys the Lord. Once again, the Lord spoke to Jonah. He said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to the people the message I have given you." So Jonah obeyed the Lord and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to walk through it. Jonah started through the city, and after walking a whole day, he proclaimed, "In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, so they decided that everyone should fast, and all the people, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth to show that they had repented. God saw what they did. He saw that they had given up their wicked behavior, so he changed his mind and did not punish them as he had said he would.
Sorry about that. Jesus calls four fishermen. After John had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and preached the good news from God. "The right time has come," he said, "and the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news." As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two fishermen, Simon and his brother Andrew, catching fish with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will teach you to catch men." At once they left their nets and went with him. He went a little further on and saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat getting their nets ready. As soon as Jesus saw them, he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they went with Jesus. Amen.
Warm greetings to you from Kingston United Reformed Church. My name is Leslie Charlton and I am one of the ministers. If you would like to get in touch with us, we would love to get to know you better. Sermon title, The Call of God, and the text, Jonah 3, verses 1 to 5, then verse 10, and Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. When you think of Jonah, think of Aesop's fables. Think of wise stories designed to tell us something. Yes, but surely that means it's not true. Can you tell me the name of the man who set out from Jerusalem to Jericho, the one that was attacked by robbers? Can you tell me the name of the Samaritan, or can you tell me where the inn was? And do any of these gaps mean that the story isn't true? It's designed, the story of the Good Samaritan, to teach us something, and that is true of the story of Jonah. But what? The thing that strikes me about the Mark reading is the situation of it. They were busy at their work, like shepherds on the hills above Bethlehem. Remember, daily in your paid employment, in your voluntary work, in the community roles that you fulfill, in your engagement with causes, fulfilling your family responsibilities, in all these activities, out with the institution of the church, we can know God is with us, we can hear God's call, and we can be doing God's work. Impossible! Not happening, you might think. Only, does that say more about us than it does about God? The other thing is the sort of work that they are doing. They're not busy in the temple. They're not working in some nice, literate, educated role. They were men working with their hands, doing the most dangerous of jobs then as now. Fishermen are close to God because they are close to the edge and close to the elements. As a generalization, they are not refined or spiritual people in the narrow definition of that. They are aware that life is precious and fragile. There's no pretending when you have seen young men die and when you have known the power of the elements. Often in churches, we talk about people being called into ministry. The sort of implication is that they weren't doing ministry before and now they are. The Reformation should have stamped out all such nonsense, but it hasn't. We need to remember that we are all priests, each of us in our everyday discipleship. We all are called by God in our paid employment and in the use of all our time. Called to be a nurse, called to be a software engineer, called to be a teacher, called to be an engineer. Called to be a cleaner, called to be a painter, called to be a decorator, called to be an accountant. It's not just the job per se. It's what, is it right? Is it wrong for us? For us being in that job? In the roles of our lives, are we doing what the Lord requires? But what about those that have left paid employment behind? That does not mean that you have left the call of God behind. You're into another phase of life. So what is the new calling of God in this new phase? The question for us, each of us, is what is God calling us to do and what is God calling us to be? Or are you with the societal view that God, like society, is ageist? Once you get to a certain age, God chucks you on the scrap scheme and your job is to turn up on a Sunday and that is it. Last Sunday story from the Gospel according to John, we don't know the exact sequence of this story with that one. But the theme's the same. Today, we have the text that is also linked with last Sunday, the call of disciples. So last week we had the call of Philip and Nathaniel. This week we have the call of Simon, Peter, Andrew, James and John, the fishermen at the Sea of Galilee. Where are they going? Who knows? What will it look like? Who knows? The call is not to know every step of the way. We are not God. The call is to step out. It's actually a fantasy to think that we know anyway. We don't. Life is perpetually throwing different things and events at us. Who knew about pandemics a year ago? And if I had described the situation that we find ourselves in currently to you 5 years ago, you would have laughed at me, or you would have grabbed the phone quickly to phone and get the doctor in to have me sectioned and put away. But it is where we are. The call is to follow Jesus. And that will lead us to surprising places. Some of which might be not where we want to be, and not what we want to happen. That's the point of the story in Jonah. Jonah has a small vision of God and a small vision of God's ways. He thinks he knows who the goodies are and who the baddies are. Israel, in, marvellous, good. Ninevites, heading for destruction. That is Jonah's clarity. But dutifully, eventually, he goes off to preach to the people of Nineveh. The shortest, most rubbish piece of preaching ever. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's it. But surprisingly, the people hear it, and life is turned around. Sometimes what you say is not the well-crafted piece of preaching. Indeed, in our times, when people are looking out for the fake, the heartfelt, genuine, however fumbling and stumbling, can have a power that a well-crafted message does not. Jonah is dismissive of the Ninevites. He doesn't want them to be saved. Sometimes are we not like that too? Is there not a danger that we love the whole of ourselves as the faithful remnant, holding on, being faithful to the faith while others have gone astray? And people do get irritated with new people, with their new ideas and their new ways and their new perspectives, sitting in their seat, wanting to change how things have always been done. And in that moment, we are like Jonah, cheesed off with the generosity of God. Why can it not be just me and people who are like me? But God's vision is bigger. God's love is more generous. The call is to all of us to be fishers of people. All of us to live a life that hints of a vision of God, a genuine sharing of what we have found in God. That will not be all the answers, but a hope and a joy of something that is beyond. And please notice, when the disciples are called, they are not taken through an exam. There's not a statement of faith that they have to sign up to. But something about them means that Jesus calls them, and something about them means that they are brave enough to leave everything and everyone to follow, called as we are, called where we are, to play our part in the life of the kingdom, in the spreading of the good news. Do we know where we will get to? No, we do not. But we know the one who calls us will never desert us. And the other bit of warning, God has dodgy pals. And the good news of that, it means that there is room for each one of us. Amen.
I can spot some of you with your eyes out the windows. You're just, I know you're just itching to get out there and get sledging and snowball fighting. I can just see it. It's just, I think we should pray for the hospitals this afternoon because they're under such strain and people are going to go out and, yeah. So let's pray. Let's join together to pray. God of the past and God of the future, we bring to you in prayer those people and places on our hearts on this day. For those parts of the world where people are killed and oppressed and displaced. For the people of Darfur and Sudan. For the people of Tigray in Ethiopia. For the people of North Korea. May those in power leave behind violence and follow your call to peace. Lord God, you called fishermen as they worked. So we pray for fishermen today as they struggle to make a living. We pray for all those who work to bring food to our tables. Be with them as they struggle with the complexities of legislation at this season and the challenges of extreme weather. And we know that the production of food is an area where some are exploited and abused. Let your justice reign, Lord Jesus. We pray for those who are working in hospitals on this day. And we know that the gorgeous snow means that some will slip and some will end up in A&E. Lord, strengthen those who are working in the emergency services at this time. Protect those in the hospitals, that they would be safe and healing places. For those who work in support infrastructure, and for those who work in medical services in the community, Lord, we pray that they would have a sense of your call on their lives. This week, we pray for the people of America as Joe Biden begins his term as president, and for Kamala Harris, and for all those entrusted with the responsibility of reshaping and reuniting the states that make up that vast nation. Lord, the US is so important to our world. But as we see it, it is so divided by race and by politics and ravaged by COVID. Lord, we pray. And we pray for one another. For parents, trying to keep their jobs, keep their businesses, and educate their children at home. Those who are feeling overwhelmed by the challenges of each new day. Those who are ill. And those who are grieving. Lord, help us to leave behind all that separates us from you and from one another. Help us to follow your call to trust and to love. And we offer our prayers, those few words spoken, but the many that come through our hearts and minds. And we offer them all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I will be sending out these notices and along with the back page, which Sue Watts kindly produces for us, and we are grateful for that. But as many of you will know, the first thing that has to be said on this day is that Anne Mackay has died. She has battled long, and now her fight is over. And she rests. Her brother Monroe is beginning to make arrangements, and once things are sorted out, we will let you know. We're also starting to begin arrangements for Nigel's funeral, and again, when we know more, we will send out arrangements. Olive is in her new home. She is thankful for those who've we sent flowers. We being Kingston Out of Hornchurch sent flowers, and she thanks us for that, thanks for those who've sent cards. And if anybody would like her new phone number, Catherine has permission to hand it out, so would you please ask for it. If anybody would like a 2021 prayer handbook, which you all know, in my opinion, is the best, I don't know what it is, 7-8 quid you spend it in a year. Fantastic, fantastic value. Ask Catherine. And if anybody knows of anybody who would like to be part of Messy Church, which is now going viral, again, speak to Catherine and we'll organise that for you. And if anybody has any space, Sue Shaw is in the process of trying to move. Trying to move at the minute is a really difficult and demanding thing. If you've any space for storage Sue Shaw could do with it, would you please speak to her or speak to me, and I'll pass it on through. I would like to say heartfelt thanks to those of you who attended my father's funeral last week. Thank you also to those members of Kingston Out Reformed Church who made it happen. What a ridiculous thing that this old man's funeral in Scotland happens in, He was buried alongside my great granny, so buried in this grave that's like 130 years old, but to make it work, it happens on Zoom. Just nuts. But anyway, thank you very much to those people who made it happen. Thanks to those who were there. Thanks for the card. Thanks for the email. Just to say that I'm now back in Surrey, as you can tell by the snow. It's not snowing in the northeast, not snowing in Scotland. I'm working. Probably working quite slowly, but I'm working. So now we will dedicate the offering, and then we will move on to our Holy Communion. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, as you fed 5,000 from the gift of a young boy, we pray that you will transform our gifts to spiritually feed many spiritually hungry people. Through the ministry and mission of our church. And give us the courage to make our offering and give us the hope and the faith to know that you have the power to transform that which we offer. And we do it in your name, Lord Jesus. We believe that this is the Lord's table, and we believe that all are welcome here. And people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south to eat at the table in the kingdom of God. And the Lord says, come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. So we are the friends and disciples of Jesus today, and he invites us to break bread together, to remember him, and to pray that God's kingdom will come. So let us pray. So let us take this time to thank God for something particular that has happened to us. Not just everything in general, but to think through our memories of something that we are thankful for. We thank you, Lord, for all these blessings caught in your net of good news. Thank you for the changes you have brought about in our lives and the difference you continue to make as we follow and learn from you. Thank you, Lord, that you do not take us beyond our capabilities. Thank you for the many blessings we receive when we follow and as we go the way that you ask of us. Thank you that even in our smallness, we may be a blessing to others. Thank you that you know the whole picture, even though we do not. And thank you for your presence with us in the small things of every day, that you are with us at every table where we eat and time when we drink, and you are present with us through one another and through this bread and this wine. May we discern you, Lord, in this bread and this wine, and may these gifts be for us as the body and blood of Christ, that we would know you with us and in us and around us. Thanks be to you, our living God, for now, forever. Amen. He took bread, which he had blessed. He broke it and said, this is my body, broken for you. And the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let's pray. Loving God, your voice entices us and calls to us so strongly that it can't be resisted. You call to us from the beauty of the world, from the brown earth and the shining moon, from the smiles and the contact with those that we love, from the power of words in poetry and prose, from all the wonders of the world you have made. You call to us from the needs and demands of the world, from the ideals and hopes of the prophets, from the hunger of the poor for justice, from the sounds of wars where the wounded cry for peace. You call to us. And you call to us from the stories of Jesus, who called ordinary people to holy lives, who healed and forgave, who told simple stories to such effect, who danced in the squares and walked in the desert, who overturned tables and took up a cross. From his life, death, and rising to life, you call to us. Keep calling us today and every day. Teach us what you ask of us and what you don't. And give us the confidence to listen for your call and the foolishness of true wisdom to respond. Lord, we pray. Amen. So our final hymn, and then after this, after I've said a benediction, we'll be going into breakout rooms. Please stay if you can, and if you can't bear a breakout room, just make yourself a cup of tea and phone somebody up. Phone somebody unlikely up and just say, you know that pain in the neck, Leslie challenge, you made me do it, I didn't want to do it. But, you know, reach out. So let's join together to sing, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
people of God. We have been fed and formed for love and service. Now let us get up and go with the courage of Jonah, the humility of Nineveh, the trust of the fishermen, the urgency of Jesus to spread the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. Believe the good news. Live the good news. And the blessing of God our Maker, Christ our brother, and the Spirit that is our power be with us this week and forever. Amen.